So it's exactly 1 o'clock, and 1 o'clock was the start time, so like everything else at Synlait, we're on time. So a very warm welcome to the Synlait Milk Limited Annual General Meeting. We're actually reporting this year on our 10th year of operations. We've been in existence a bit longer than that, and it's our 6th AGM since we've been a listed company on the New Zealand Stock Exchange, and of course now we're also listed on the Australian Stock Exchange. So just in terms of housekeeping, the exit is just straight back where you came in, so nothing too confusing there. We do have some special guests today that I'd like. You're all special, obviously, because you're shareholders. But we do have some extra special guests. We've got Mr. Damien Poo right here, who's the chairman of Bright Dairy and Food, who's recently appointed and come all the way from Shanghai to be at the meeting today. So we're very pleased with that. We've also got Andrew Dick and some partners from Deloitte as our auditor. So after the meeting, or during the meeting actually, if there's any question that you wanted to address to the auditors, they are here. We've got our lawyers here, represented by Silvana Scanoni and Chris Young, Minter Allison. So they're here as well. And the same rules apply that if you had a question that you wanted to address to the company's legal advisors, then you could do that as well. So the agenda today is, who's going to do the slides? Good. So the agenda today is pretty much, there's not going to be any new announcements except for one thing, in what you would have read as you went through the annual report. So the financial updates and so on are as per the annual report, but the one item on the agenda, our purpose and identity, that is new, that is an announcement today, so there'll be about 10 minutes of new information there that'll be published on our website today as well. So first of all, introductions. My name's Graham Milne. I have the privilege of being the chairman of Synlait Milk, and in the front row here and scattered through a little bit in the audience are our directors, so I'll introduce them as well. So first of all, John Penno, he's the ex-CEO of the company, founder, and is retained as a director on the board. You're going to hear more from him later in the meeting. Ruth Richardson down here in the front row, just to remind, she's the chair of SIFT, Koala Fund, Merino New Zealand. She's on the Bank of China board, and of course she's previous Minister of Finance in New Zealand, and she chairs our REM and Governance Committee. We have Bill Roost, who's right here. He's the ex-CFO of Fletcher Building. He's a director on Metro Glass. He's a director on Fisher & Paykel Appliances. They're all well-qualified people is the point I'm trying to get across. And he's the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee for Synlait Milk as well. And we've also got Sam Knowles right next to him. He's a director on Trustpower, Rangatira Fund. He was the original CEO of Kiwi Bank, so started Kiwi Bank. He was the chair of Xerox. I'm sure we've got some shareholders of Xerox in the room as well. So very experienced director as well. What? Zero, not Xerox. Yeah, sorry. That's the copy. Their copy is Xerox. Yeah, this is the original Zero. I'll try not to make too many jokes and get things right. We've also got on the board Albert. Lou's right here. So Albert is from Bright Dairy as well. He's the manager of, he's a senior manager of international investments. We have Min Ben, who's right here, also from Bright. She's the vice president, public relations for Bright. And then we have Edward Young, who's right there, and he's the senior strategy director for Bright, overall strategy. And of course, right next to me up here, we have Leon Clement, who's the new CEO. You're going to hear quite a bit from him today. We'll introduce him then, and of course we've got Nigel Greenwood, our CFO, and he will also address you shortly. Right, so I'll make some overall comments in terms of a chairman's address, and then we'll move on to Leon's address, then Nigel. Leon will do a further announcement, and then we'll take questions on the whole lot. So if you've got questions, if you wouldn't mind just bunch all the questions together. So just remember them, and then we'll go from there. So as I mentioned, it was 10 years of operation of Synlait this year, and so this winter we took the opportunity to celebrate with staff and suppliers. We even had a dinner for our original suppliers, and some who I can see in the room, who were those brave people, the farmer suppliers that actually decided, had to sign up to us when we didn't have a factory, we had an idea, and we'll call it brave. They were brave, and they're still with us, and it was fantastic to celebrate with them. So when we look back, you know, to create a company within 10 years, which has got more, had more than $1 billion market value and nearly $1 billion in sales, I mean, it really is something that we're not trying to blow our own trumpet, but actually if to create that size company within 10 years is really something to be proud of. It's about 2% of New Zealand's total exports. From you know one original idea and a whole lot of people that supported it, including obviously yourselves. So in the year that we're reporting on, we nearly doubled profit from 39 million to 74.6 million after tax. Our infant nutrition, which is our key product at the moment, our sales nearly doubled to nearly 36,000 tonnes. And of course, one of the very important things is that we appointed a new CEO after John had led the company so ably from nothing to what this billion-dollar company that I just talked about. Leon comes to us with 17 years' experience in the dairy industry, very relevant experience, and so he was able to hit the ground running, and you'll hear from him in a minute. He's been in the company 3.5 months, and he's certainly picked the company up and taken hold of it. We appointed him after a very comprehensive international search. It's a key appointment, and we wanted to get it right, and I think you'll agree with me at the end of the meeting that we certainly have. So additionally, because of our size, we're starting to get into those sort of global funds interest in terms of share funds. So this year our shares were incorporated in the MSCI Global Small Cap and the FTSE Asia Small Cap, and that's price insensitive funds, so they do tend to join at a point and then they have an obligation to buy so many shares, and that partly explains some of these peaks and rises as these companies or share fund groups join Synlait into their portfolio. And since we have some rather large shareholders, you know, our trading is a little thin, and so that does make a difference to share price. But overall, if we take the balance date to balance date for the year that we're reporting, which is 1st of August to 1st of August, your returns went up 148% in that year. So I think that's something to be reasonably proud of. Okay, there's some bumps and so on, but if we take those balance dates, and we'll always report to you that TSR, total shareholder return, so you know exactly what you earned from Synlait if you're in the business for that 1 year. So 148%, we think that's a reasonably good result. I hope you do too. And during that time, A2, they have increased their shareholding and confidence in our company, more or less doubled their shareholding. They're now 17.4%. So strategically, we extended that supply agreement with A2, so it's a longer term, it's greater tonnages, it retains the exclusive nature to it so that we are the exclusive supplier to New Zealand, Australia and China, and of course there's a lot of other markets where we'll be working with them. So it's excellent, it's a great relationship, but it's not all we do. Of course we have a big ingredients business, but when you look at our business, you'd have to say there's some concentration risk. You know, there are key products and key markets and key customers that we are positively exposed to, but now we've got to the size of company where we are rapidly diversifying into other categories and other markets so that our risk and therefore your risk is reduced and spread. So to that extent, we're working, you know, with other infant formula customers. We deal with just about all of the major international infant formula producers, and we need to grow to meet the demand. Last year it was the microphone that fell off. This year it's the dishes. So we're building, you know, a major expansion into a new plant at Pokeno, so that you'll see that if you're going up and down the Auckland motorway. You'll see that coming out of the ground, and certainly the building's well underway now. Plus, we're growing into new, so that's to support our infant formula and ingredients strategies. But we're growing into new categories, and that's particularly everyday dairy, so that's the milk and bottles and yogurt and so on. And there's a new factory coming out of the ground in, at Dunsandel, which is nearing completion. And of course, this year we're in the middle of the year. We announced some very bold sustainability targets. They're long-term targets. They're environmentally focused targets. And you'll hear more about that in the discussion today. So, in terms of regulations, because we're focused on infant formula and because we're focused on the key Chinese market, there are regulatory entry market certificates that are required. There has been a slowdown in the processing of those in China. There's been a reorganisation of the agencies in China. And you'll see some details on the slide there. It's good news that vital inspections have taken place at Dunsandel, where Waite, our Auckland plant, inspections. That has slowed down progress, but we're still confident that those registrations will come through, and then that'll improve tonnage and therefore profitability. Also, we've been working with Munchkin, we announced some time ago, which is a US infant products company, baby products company that's coming into the infant formula market. We manufacture the product. They have launched their stage two in the US, and they've launched it locally. But the key launch is the stage one for the young infants into the US. That's been delayed because there's an FDA approval you have to go through, and we made an announcement about the details of that last week. So in terms of capital projects, like I've already alluded to, at the moment we've got projects on the books that total capital cost is $450 million. So that's a reasonable investment for us, or for anybody for that matter. So the current program is the Pokeno site I've already mentioned. That'll commission in September 19. The liquid dairy, everyday dairy plant, which will commission in March 19. It'll be supplying its first product commercially on the 1st of April. A lactoferrin plant that we've just finished commissioning, right in time for a very strong market demand for that product. And, of course, we announced that we're going to acquire, in the middle of next year, a new cheese plant that's currently operating in Temuka. With the brands Talbot Forest, and we'll. So with the projected cash flow of the company, and you can see in the accounts, we've got a reasonably strong balance sheet there. We're generating not only good profits but good strong cash flows. We can fund this without risking the company and without raising equity. You know that we did raise $100 million on the stock market in 2016. So with that, like I say, and those strong cash flows, we won't be needing to raise equity. But that also means we won't be paying any dividends. I do say this every year. We're a growth company. We've got good ideas. We're growing strongly. We're trying to grow at a speed that we don't trip ourselves up, but it's a speed that's just below that. And we still have a plethora of good ideas after the ideas that we're talking about today. So for the foreseeable future, we'll be reinvesting funds to grow the company, and we see your return coming from the share price, which, like I say, was 148% increase in just in the last year. So our outlook for or our guidance for this current year that we're in, we stated it in the annual report, was that we do expect, despite the investment and the new staff that we'll be bringing on, extra investment in R&D and so on, that we'll be bringing on board, we'll still increase profit this year. It won't be a doubling of profit. It won't be at the rate of increase that it was in this last year, but we're still planning very much to increase our profitability this year on last year. So with those overview comments, I'll hand over to Leon. He'll go through a little bit more detail on different subjects, and Nigel as well. And then at the end of both of those presentations, we'll take questions. Thank you, Leon.
Kia ora koutou, nau mai, haere mai, ki tēnei hui o tātou. Ko Leon Clement ahau, nō ena mana, ena reo, e rauranga tērā mā, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Afternoon, everybody. My name is Leon Clement, and it's a great privilege for me to be here as the new CEO of Synlait. For the first few months, I was saying the incoming CEO, but at 3.5 months into the business, I feel like I'm really starting to get my head around the business. And it's because it's such a great pleasure to come into this organisation. I thank the board this morning for the way in which they've supported me into the role. It's a very warm company to come into. And as I go around learning about the business, meeting the customers, visiting our sites, I feel very welcomed and supported coming into Synlait. And that includes all of our investors that I've met. Although I will say that every investor does remind me of the expectations that you have of us continuing to deliver on the strong performance. So I'll take that as just letting you know that I've heard that already. So, but if you want to remind me later on, I'll be very open to it. Look, I thought I'd start with this slide. It's a simple but important slide on, in my view, the way that Synlait's been successful in making money. On the top is our categories and how we grow and where we focus on delivering value. And we do that in a way that is different to the industry and creates real value for our customers and consumers. Below that is how we enable that growth by investing in a very strong and sustainable value chain. And you may have seen this slide in previous presentations and notice a difference. And the key difference is that our value chain is starting to look more holistic. We're starting to think far more holistically around what are the value chains we're participating in. We're participating in an environmental value chain where we take and give away value from the environment, and we want to make sure that that's done in a gentle and sustainable way for the environment we participate in. We participate in a people value chain where we bring leaders into the organisation, we touch base with farmers and their communities, and we want to make sure that we're generating positive social well-being for all of the stakeholders along our people-based value chain. And the more traditional view around our enterprise is we've got to make money. So we have an exchange in terms of how we create value from the products that we source and how we add value to those so that customers and consumers are prepared to pay money for us that we can generate in terms of value and return for shareholders. This is quite a significant change, and I think as we move forward into the next 10 years of the organisation, a big reason why I was attracted to Synlait was Synlait's taking a real leading position in starting to think this way about our business and starting to recognise that it's the way in which we must lead New Zealand towards a more sustainable dairying environment in New Zealand and if not the world. I'll come back to that thought when I introduce our new purpose later on and why we believe it's a really strong catch cry for us as we move forward. I'm going to give you a quick update of each of those areas and the progress that we are making. Around environment, our goal is to make sure that we have a net positive impact to the planet. It's a bold aspiration, but as we participate in an environmental value chain, it's important that we think about restorative and regenerative agriculture manufacturing right across our supply chain. In June, the organisation announced some really bold targets around what we're going to do in this space, reducing on and off-farm greenhouse gas emissions by 35 and 50% respectively, making sure we manage our water use down by 20% and nitrogen by 45%. And I will stress that these are really bold targets for the industry. Some of the commentators we've spoken to around, for instance, the greenhouse gas emissions on on-farm have said, oh, you mean you're talking about 3.5%. In fact, Synlait is going for 35%. But we're really committed to this, and we believe we've got some good ideas to take it forward. We're really proud recently to join as a founding partner in the Aotearoa Circle, which is a group of businesses focused on sustainability in New Zealand. Our new Lead with Pride initiative has included a PKE-free incentive of 8 cents per kilo of milk solids, which is available for those participating in the Lead with Pride program. And that's helped generate a lot of interest in farmers coming on to the Lead with Pride certification, which reflects best-in-class dairying in New Zealand and incorporates a lot of environmental principles into it, so that we attract the best farmers in New Zealand, but also the most caring for our environment. We're trialling a new methane inhibitor, leading-edge technology coming out of a company from Europe, and we're really excited to see that some of the results that we're seeing coming out of this is producing some results that we feel will really help us with some of these goals up here. And I'm proud to say that our first, or New Zealand's first, electrode boiler was craned into place recently and is now sitting out at our Dunsandel site. And that's a really exciting and pioneering way of generating energy to fuel our plants. Our people value chain, a lot of work going into how do we build a better Synlait. We want to create a world-class organisation that's aligned around common purpose and driven by innovation and creative thinking. I talk a lot about aligning head, heart and hands, our purpose, our ambition and our strategy, and making sure people are linked to that. And what we're trying to do here with our efforts is to really make sure we embrace all of the initiatives here. Our culture and engagement efforts have been going for some time. We measure engagement through a Gallup Q12 score, and the business has moved from the 31st to the 60th percentile in that space. We've got more work to do, but it's good progress over the last year or so. We've recently, as recently as yesterday, signed off with the board the selection for upgrading our ERP platform, a really important part of making sure that we have the systems and processes in place and data available to our people to make the decisions that they need to in the interests of our organisation. Health and safety rates have reduced by 44%. It's a strong reduction. We're also seeing reporting around hazards and near misses increasing, and the severity of our injuries when they do occur are much lower. These are all good signals, but we do acknowledge that we're not there yet, and we want to continue our focus in this space so that we build a world-class safety culture. And recently at the annual results, we launched a new diversity and inclusion policy. We've kicked off a three-phase action plan around that, around addressing diversity at senior levels for women and being more inclusive of Māori representation in our organisation, looking at diversity in leadership and making sure that we build an inclusive culture. And this is my last slide for this section, just talking a little bit about the enterprise progress that we've made in recent months. Our lactoferrin expansion has continued. We've got a second lactoferrin plant in place and working well, which was just finished off at the end of October. So that's exciting. The advanced liquid dairy facility based at Dunsandel, which will provide the private label milk for Foodstuff South Island, as well as give us access to a range of everyday dairy categories that we're very excited about. That's on track. Construction is making good progress, and we're really excited about being able to start our partnership with Foodstuff South Island formally in April next year. Our Pōkeno site is also on schedule after some early disruption, but we're excited about the way that that's moving on track. Our milk supplier recruitment is also moving forward, and we've made some key appointments in terms of the staff that will help us run that site and meet the Synlait standards that we aspire towards. And we also have made some really good progress on an integrated work systems, or the IWS program. This is a program that we license out of Procter & Gamble, who have built world-class manufacturing excellence in their sites. And Neil and the team are rolling this out across each of our areas and making some really good gains on manufacturing efficiency and reducing waste, which generate profitability for us. And finally, some great work by the quality team, both in managing our regulatory approvals, but moving towards FSSC 22000, which is an ISO type of accreditation that many of our customers continue to ask us about and value. So we're well down the path of that as well. I'll now hand over to Nigel, who will pick up on some of the results, and then I'll come back.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you, Graham. Welcome to you all. I know you've seen me quite a few years sitting up here doing the financial overview of the business, and it's a very proud moment for me to be able to do that. Obviously, we've had a very good year, I'll just get this flipped up. Reflecting our growth in our net profit after tax, moving from $39.5 million up to $74.6 million, that's an 89% improvement year on year. And you can see that that's principally driven by, as Graham reflected earlier, by our growth in infant formula, finished infant formula sales for the year, which coincidentally also increased by 89%. We sold roughly 35,500 tonnes of finished infant formula for the year ending FY18, that compares to about 18,000 tonnes in the previous year. Overall, EBITDA increased by 56% to just shy of $140 million, and which is obviously a very good performance and helps drive the cash flow that enables us to have a very strong balance sheet, and we'll come on to that shortly. In terms of sales volumes, an interesting dynamic in our business is that as we increase the volume of infant formula that we manufacture, it actually makes it a little more challenging for us to process as much milk, because we use less milk in making infant formula than we do in ingredient products. And as a consequence, you can see that the volume of product that we actually sold year on year has reduced a little. And that's because the product mix of what we manufactured and sold has reduced a little. You can see that the infant formula has increased to 35,500, but actual ingredient products has dropped from 122 down to 93,000. And that's just a reflection of the way that we apply the milk in our business. The overall outcome for the company and, of course, the investors is that a better outcome overall on our bottom line. We have noticed, however, and it's been pointed out to us, and we did want to bring this to your attention, that our finished goods inventory at the end of the year has increased year on year. You can see it's come from 15,000 tonnes up to 26,000 tonnes. And that is also a natural consequence of the volume of infant formula that we're selling. The way that works is that we need to actually hold at year end quite a large volume of what we call infant formula bulk product. This is infant formula still in a bag before it's processed into a fully finished can, and we need to hold that in order to be able to manufacture that into a finished product during the months of August, September and October. So we've seen quite a large increase in our infant formula bulk product year on year, and that's had an increase in the volume but also an increase in the value by $55 million. In terms of production volume, overall our production volume is a little bit up on last year, and that reflects the fact that we didn't sell it all because we had so much held in year-end stock. But we did manufacture 36,000 tonnes of infant formula and 102,000 tonnes of ingredient products year on year. And that was from processing less milk. You can see we processed 60 million kilos of milk solids this year compared to 65 million the previous year. Net debt, this is really worth calling out. You can see that in the year our net debt has increased a little by $32 million to $115 million, albeit our leverage or our debt to EBITDA ratio has actually improved. It's gone from 0.9 to 0.8, which is actually a very, very strong position. And that is why it's enabled us to be able to spend the $450 million that Graham talked to earlier on all these major capital projects without having to come back to our investors to seek additional capital, because we have a very strong balance sheet. And you can see last year that our operating cash flow that we generated was just under $100 million, and we expect the operating cash flow in the year ahead to be well in excess of $100 million. That helps enable us to be able to drive that capital expenditure and not come back for capital. And you can see the movement in net debt from way back in FY16 down to FY18. And finally, this is a slide that we put up every year just to reinforce to you one of the key metrics that we look at internally, which is our gross profit per metric tonne. Because what this reflects to you that as we increase move the product mix to higher returning products, you should expect that we'll have a higher gross margin per metric tonne. And you can see that we had quite a material increase from last year, $792 per metric tonne up to $1,300 per metric tonne. And that's really a reflection of the increased infant formula sales we've had year on year. you might actually expect that in the year that we open, just as a look forward, if you're looking forward to, say, FY20, not this year we're in, but the year 2 years ahead, you might actually see that fall away a little. And that will be because, if you think about it, in that year we will be commissioning our Pocono site. And with that new Pocono site, the amount of ingredients will increase, and so the product mix will just change a little in that year until we begin to fill that site up with infant formula. But that may just see that come down a little in that particular year. But you can certainly see from a gross profit perspective that we've had a substantial increase from 112 million to 166 million year on year. Overall, a very good result for FY18. And that's where I'll leave my overview of the financial performance for the year and hand back to Leon.
Thanks, Nigel.
Okay, I'm back with a look at our future. And I suppose with the time I spend in the business, there's a chance to stand back and look at what we're doing and where we might be heading. And I'm not going to present a new strategy, but I think I'll present a bit of a framework for some of the challenges that we have ahead and our opportunities and how we might go about doing that. Where are we today? My initial observations coming into the organisation are that Synlait is fast, it's strong, and it's strategic. And I'll explain what I mean by each of those. We're fast from a performance perspective. The business has grown at a very significant rate, which is excellent to see. But what's pleasing to see is that the culture is agile, and the people are fast and move quickly against new opportunities. So that's really pleasing to hear, that our pace that we've been delivering from a performance perspective isn't inhibited by a slow culture. We have a fast culture as well. We also have almost the same kind of thing with the strength of our balance sheet. So Synlait is strong because we've got a great balance sheet on which we can generate new opportunities and lots of ideas to do that. But the culture is strong as well. There's a strong resilience to keep pushing on and moving forward. And the business has made strong commitments around our environment, and I think those are very brave and courageous. So we see both financial performance mirrored in the culture that I see in the organisation around pace and strength. Synlait is also really strategic. I'm impressed with the robust analysis that's being done to consider what next strategic moves we make. There's really good rigour in the organisation. The numbers are done well, the assumptions are checked, and the board is great at supporting some of those decisions that we make. So I like the culture around the strategic decisions that have been made, well thought through, and they create a real imperative once a decision's been made for the company and the organisation to act. What are we trying to achieve? It's really clear to me that we've got to maintain our growth, but at the same time, we've got this concentration risk, so we have to rapidly diversify. And that creates an inherent tension in the organisation, because whilst we've got to make sure we protect and shore up our existing profit engine, we need to start to turn our efforts and resources into doing new things so that we diversify our customer base, our plants, our geographies, to give us diversification, and we're not exposed to a single customer, single market, single plant risk that we have today. So the challenges are around that, the concentration risk that we carry, the fact that if we start to do more stuff, we may have some risk around implementation and our ability to focus, the fact that to achieve some of the growth rates that we want to and to rapidly diversify, we'll have to do some of this inorganically. And what I mean by that is we'll either need to go and secure some businesses to do that, or we'll have to secure big partnerships like we did with Foodstuff South Island, large chunks of revenue and volume in one go. And that requires work and has some challenges underneath it. And the fourth risk that I see is we are living in an unpredictable environment. The regulatory risk that we face has some challenges and creates uncertainty for us, and we need to make sure we're gearing up our people to deal with that. So this is a sort of simple framework on what I believe is our answer to that frame that I said in the first slide. If you look at the chart on the left there, we've got current categories and new categories on this axis and current customers and new customers on this axis. So when I look at the engine that generates real profit in the organisation, it's from our current customers and current categories. But that's where we have some concentration. A lot of our success and performance comes from our specialisation in infant nutrition with A2. So our goal is really to start to think about how do we generate growth to diversify off that. First, we must deepen our relationships with existing customers. And what we can do is start to take them into new categories. So what is it that we could do with A2 to start to diversify just with them, to build exposure outside of infant nutrition and to ready to feed infant nutrition or other opportunities? The other axis that we can start to tap is how do we start to attract new customers off our core competence of infant nutrition? And there's a lot of great work going on there with some big tier one multinationals on new customers that we could attract. We've built a lot of capability and a lot of reputational goodwill in the marketplace with the success that we've had. It's now time to tell those stories and attract new customers into our portfolio. And to me, that's our adjacent growth engine. But the next phase to really start to get out into the ether and the ocean a bit is to expand and look at what category and customer combinations that are new can we start to go after. And a great example of that is what the organisation has done with Foodstuff South Island. The partnership there is in a new category with liquid milk, and it's with a new customer. And it takes us into a new market around New Zealand. So it's a very smart way to diversify and create optionality for how we continue to grow. I'm not saying this is our strategy, but it's a very, it's a sort of clear way to explain how we're going to look at this challenge. To support this, and the four's not meant to be right up here, it's meant to go around the whole square, we have to build capabilities to support that. Because we're doing more things, we have to invest in research and development. Our commitment to sustainability around it being purpose-led is important. Having world-class quality and manufacture in our system and continuing to differentiate our milk supply are really important parts and fundamentals for how we continue to grow and develop as an organisation. And it's a little like that first slide I show where we grow at the top and we enable it down the bottom. How do we build a really strong, competitive, sustainable value chain across environment, people and enterprise? So just before I move on to talking about identity and purpose, our outlook for the year remains unchanged at 41,000 to 45,000 tonnes of infant nutrition. We continue to see solid and encouraging growth from A2. We had a very strong 11-11 and we continue to see that flow through in the business on orders. We're hopeful of brand approvals for Akara and Pure Canterbury within this year, which are factored into here. And we do expect the growth from Munchkin, although we're not counting on any sales from the US this year, apart from their Stage 2 formula. We are seeing good development in their domestic and cross-border sales. So they're making up for what we forecast in that space, and we remain on track there. Okay, I'm going to talk a little about our purpose and our identity, which is not work I can take full credit for because it was started under John's tenure and the team have put a lot of work into rethinking around what we stand for. And when you think about what you stand for and go into a new era, it makes sense to start to think about your identity. What do you look like? And does that reflect where we want to head? I attended the Deloitte Top 200 dinner and celebration last week and the theme of that was the power of purpose. A lot of organisations are talking about purpose and how being purpose-led creates a very strong anchor for both people to create meaning in what they do, to connect them to your strategy, and to tap the softer part of what makes your intelligence work. And there's no shortage of quotes on the internet around why purpose is increasingly important to how we go forward. Not only is it a great way of driving engagement and tapping the best out of your people. But if you read down here, Paul Pullman from Unilever and Howard Schultz, fairly influential leaders in their space, they're actually saying being purpose-led starts to get us out of some of the self-interest that drives inappropriate behaviour from organisations and works towards creating a greater good for the world. So purpose-led is both in our interests because it helps connect our people with what we're trying to achieve, but it's also in the interests of the world, our communities, and the environment. Our purpose statement that we've developed is doing milk differently for a healthier world. And I presented this to staff on Monday and got a really great response. We'd identified earlier this year a theme around the territory of what this looked like, and we've spent some time recently just tightening it up, and I'll sort of talk you through what it means to us. But I can tell you it takes a lot of work to try and get what you're trying to achieve into just 7 words, and we've sweated this quite a bit as a team and feel really comfortable with where we've got to. So the first sort of key word there is milk, right? We're in the business of milk, and we have historically started our organisation from a farming organisation, and that's the game that we're in. But we also want to make sure that we're a modern milk company. We don't want to end up as a sort of a Kodak moment and find that we're so fixed on bovine milk nutrition that perhaps the new disruptor coming out of the world and where that looks like might take us by surprise. So we've defined milk as being in the milk nutrition business. We believe in the milk nutrition vector that it provides to humans. And if anything comes along that's as environmentally as good, as economically as good, and nutritionally as good, then we need to be in it. We believe that the current alternatives aren't quite there yet, but we certainly, as a modern milk nutrition company, need to be keeping our eye on this. So that drove a lot of our discussion. The different word I hope is clear to you. Synlait has always taken a disruptive, distinct approach to how it's done business. It took a bold and brave move to build its own dryer when many were moving across to other organisations. It partnered with A2 early when many of the scientists and the rest of the community were rubbishing it. The organisation has always taken a modern, distinctive and disruptive approach to doing business. And we believe that that's in our core DNA, but is really important we retain as we go forward. So the idea of doing milk differently is really in our attitude. It's about how we approach things in our organisation, and we believe that in this modern world, being distinct and different, we don't just do it because we want to stand out, we do it because we believe differentiating ourselves ultimately will bring us value. So that's the first part of the statement, and then we talked about healthier, reflecting the essential and enhanced nutrition that we bring in what we do. We believe that, you know, the nutrition that we create creates health for people, but is also attached to the emotions that it delivers in the care between mother or father and child and the infant nutrition we provide. But there's a double meaning here, is that by contributing and making sure that what we do contributes to a healthier world, both nutritionally and environmentally, we feel that that gives many of our people a strong reason to give us, put their best selves forward. And we had some discussion around this idea of our aspiration to be able to contribute to a wider world. Could a little old New Zealand company actually have an impact on the world? And the answer for us was yes, we feel we can. If we believe in a better dairying, a more sustainable dairying system in New Zealand, can we not influence the other players in this country around a more sustainable way for dairy? And we're certainly seeing our leadership in that space. Others are starting to benefit from it. We see it as pre-competitive. But why wouldn't that translate into a more better dairying system for the whole world? There's 17 million babies born in China a year. And our biggest customer is almost 6% of the infant nutrition market. So we're already contributing to the health and well-being of infants in a very sensitive area around the world. So it's very real for us to have a global aspiration. And as Graham mentioned at the start, in 10 short years to be able to make the statement with confidence is a real achievement. But we also believe we're really connected to New Zealand and our heart is here. We bring a New Zealand attitude. We won't be suddenly thinking we're going to go global and therefore corporatise our business. Our heart is here. Our character is here. We will take our New Zealand spirit to the world and have a positive impact in it. So that's the statement, doing milk differently for a healthier world. We think it's worthwhile sharing this, not to all of the public, but with all of our stakeholders, our investors, our customers, our suppliers, because it gives us an anchor for how we start to do business. And I hope that you're able to open conversations with your colleagues to say, hey, I'm a shareholder in Synlait. We do milk differently for a healthier world. let me tell you a little bit about what these guys are doing and contributing to it, and that's why I feel good as an investor. So feel free to take it, borrow it. It's not ours, it's yours as well. Build some ownership with it and start to use it and apply it. Right, I'll quickly go through. Brandon, are we right on time, Graham? Yep. With the repurposing of the organisation, it makes a lot of sense to then start to look at how we're seen and our identity. And I've done a bit of work in the brand space in my time, and a good brand for me captures these three things well. It captures who you are, it captures what we do, and it captures what we stand for. And so when we started thinking about what our brand should represent and stand for and what it should look like, we asked ourselves these three questions, and that's how we briefed it and started a conversation with an agency that supported us to do that. And the answers for these three questions, from my perspective, are that when you look at who we are, sorry, I'll start with what we do. What we do, we're in the nutrition and health game, and we're a B2B business. Yeah. When you think about what we stand for, we talked before about being disruptive, innovative, modern and sustainable. That's what we stand for. And when you look at who we are, the character in the organisation is down to earth. It comes from our farming roots. We're authentic and we're straightforward. So, when you stand back and look at that and you go, right, I might close my eyes and think about what does a Synlait look like in a logo that is disruptive, in the nutrition and food game, and straightforward, down to earth, no nonsense. So without further ado, this is our new logo. It's pink. And there's some smiles and chuckles in the audience. So, being modern and disruptive. The colour of pink is modern, disruptive. You'll see many organisations with a modern and disruptive attitude using pink as the tone to connote that. Yeah? The font, you'll note, it looks like food. It looks like the milk we're in. It's creamy, it's soft. It's not hard and straight up and down. And we're not trying to be something that we're not. It's a word mark. It's straightforward and no nonsense. There's no lock-up, there's no shields or crests that connote some sort of other sort of identity. Now, I will comment a little bit on the pink. The pink here is used in a very bold way. And the reason that we were able to agree with this, because there were some different views, was that we will use pink in a flexible way. When we want to be a bit more serious, we'll tone the pink down and use it as a little nod to the pink to say, hey, we're a disruptive organisation. When we want to be distinctive and bold, we'll show it a bit more like this. So, to be fair, the pink on here is probably, if you see some of the other expressions of the brand, it's not as bold as that all the time. Yeah? Like it? Yes? And there's a few shakes of the head. You'll get used to it. It'll grow on you. This is how it might look. This is our Richard Pearce Drive site in Auckland, the blending and canning site. So that's how we might lay it up there. You don't know pink there. But here we go, an annual report that you might be receiving in your mailbox next year. A little nod of pink, but a more serious tone, because that's the kind of communication we want to drive for it. Again, a lab coat, do the logo in pink. You know, this is sort of a standard black and white expression of it. So there's a range of ways we can play with this, but look, it's a new identity. We're really proud of it and what it looks like and what it represents for us. Some people sort of rubbish the brand, but I think it's a really important part of how we go forward and what we stand for. I'm just going to finish with a quick video. It talks about both our purpose and what we're doing in the sustainability space, so we'll just watch that and then we'll open for questions and the formalities.
Down here, we are doing milk differently. We bring out the best in nature and unlock its potential through new thinking and new technologies. Our mission is to be a catalyst for change, to make sustainability not a catchphrase, but the core of all we do. Because if we can do it, others will follow. And that will change our industry, benefit our country, and leave a legacy for future generations. It's a hard road to do things differently, to try things that haven't been done, to risk, to challenge. It's a pioneering mindset to stand for more and play a bigger role in New Zealand. Here's to the journey ahead. Here's to reimagining what we do and how we do it. Here's to harnessing the spirit this company was founded on. And moving towards a future that we're yet to imagine. Here's to doing it with attitude.
Right, thanks very much. Doing milk differently for a healthier world. Right, so questions on any of the presentations, any or comments? If it's a question or comment about the resolutions that have come, we'll have question time for each of those. So anything you've seen or anything about the company progress or where we're heading, now's the time. It's not compulsory because we do have plenty of other business, but... And if you're shy, then we'll have questions afterwards when we're talking. Here we go.
Yeah, hello. So, can you hear me?
Yep,
okay. I think this is live than
it's
the
going.
Other one.
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Heike Mulukaya. I'm an independent investor. And I guess. Yeah, I heard this presentation with interest. It's certainly different to what we've heard previously. But I still would like to go back a little bit to the numbers. And I guess I've seen Sunlai's expansion, making good money with A2 infant formula and lactoferrin, and now moving into cheese and... liquid milk. I think diversification is good, but I would be interested in the business case for moving to liquid milk and cheese. Could you comment on that?
So more details on the business case as we go into the diversification strategy you're asking about?
Yeah, well, I guess I've seen Sunlai making lots of money with high-value products, and I guess liquid milk and cheese don't really feel like high value, so I'm wondering whether we should expect lower margins in future.
We've got, well, let's,
So look, I mentioned that there's strong strategic rationale in the organisation, and sitting outside of the organisation and seeing this announcement, it raised the same questions for me, so I think it's a valid one. What I see is a really smart way to secure a large amount of volume that, I'm cautious with this world, but it underwrites the investment as a starting point. It allows us to then enter into new categories. What's sitting behind the initial fresh milk plant, underpinned by the anchor tenant, I would say, for Foodstuff South Island, is a very advanced, flexible line that allows us to enter into new categories. So we're looking at developments in ambient drinking yogurts and ready-to-feed infant nutrition and functional creams for food service. Those are the platforms that we see as growth categories in many markets around the world. The business case has some safety and protection because we've secured a large chunk of business from Foodstuffs. However, it really starts to make a strong investment return for shareholders when we start to fill that line up. So, in part, this is why I quite like the model, because whilst the investment's been made, we now have a really strong imperative to start to create the products to generate that return. And we see really good opportunity in those margins. Will you see some dilution? It's likely that you will. However, the growth trajectory and on a margin per tonne perspective should continue strongly. Cheese, you want me to talk to cheese? Cheese was, I'm cautious with the word opportunistic, but it came along at the right time. I think the market has interpreted Talbot Forest a little bit as why are you getting into a small niche-ish category with low margins? In fact, it ticks a lot of boxes for us. It's complementary to fresh milk in terms of the categories that we want to play in. And having a portfolio has a stronger and gives you an ability to have a better conversation with customers. It gives us a milk bank. When we have a big flush of milk coming in through the peak of the season, it gives us optionality of where we put that and therefore how we optimise our dryers at Dunsandel. So that's a major benefit from a supply chain perspective. It optimises transport. We have many farms around Temuka and actually allows us to channel milk down to that site as opposed to trucking it up to Dunsandel, so there's some efficiency gains there. And fourthly, we get a whey stream off it. So having a whey stream gives us lots of options later on for how we could use that for entering new categories in adult nutrition. So look, if you stood back and said, why is Synlait going into cheese? Has it got a lot of margin in it in New Zealand? I don't think the business case would have got across the line. But with all of those other reasons that sit in there, it's a good value investment. It would have cost us more to build that from scratch than what we're paying for it. And the plant and the assets that we've looked at are of very good quality and have been set up very well in a flexible way. So the business case is reliant on us delivering some of those assumptions that we talked about, but I think they're smart and strategic. Okay?
Thank you. Leon, while you're here, if I may ask another question.
Sure.
I guess we had last year still John Penno here, and I asked, well, how is the new CEO going to look like? And now we see you. I guess I'm sort of wondering what is your vision for the business?
Yeah.
I guess we heard lot of soft. Is this the right word? Well, probably it is. So ideas, and I'm sure a lot of good things can come out of it.
Mm.
But how would you see the company in 5 years?
Great question. And we had a day with the board yesterday, and John was there to help support that in terms of bringing his experience to what we do. And we had a good session with the board around where do we want to take this organisation in the next wee while. I think that there's a very strong strategy already in place. I said to the team, it's about refining this and tightening it and clarifying it more than reinventing it. But my vision is in a little bit around the slides that we presented before. My vision is that we create and stand for sustainability, not just for the dairying industry, but for New Zealand business, and that we influence that globally. My vision is that we build a very robust organisation with a diversified portfolio of categories and customers and markets that continues to grow at the rates that has been demonstrated in the past and generates good returns for shareholders. So I think if we can stand back in 5 years and say we've addressed the concentration risk that we saw, we're playing a meaningful role in the New Zealand industry and contributing to that from a global perspective. And we've built a really resilient organisation from a people and a stakeholder perspective, bringing well-being to the people that we touch, I'd be pretty satisfied. So that's a top-of-the-line sort of view on where I think we're heading and what we should achieve.
Thanks, Leon. That's great. Other questions? Yes.
Hi, thank you very much. My name's Michelle Holland and I'm a private investor. I'm just really interested in the environmental lead initiative program that you've got. You mentioned in your slide that you've got 38 farmers or farms on board to date. What percentage is that of the total Synlait milk supply?
I'm the Lead with Pride program. That's what you're talking about?
Yes.
Just over 200 farmers at the moment, but there's quite a number of farmers that are joining the program. I think another 60, is it?
So we've got 60 odd as a base, and what I mentioned is there's 38 that are keen to sign up.
Right.
So and that's on a farmer base of about 200.
So about 30.
Remembering, Lead with Pride
puts a lot of obligation onto the farmer base around meeting certain standards, but we reward them for that. And it reflects best practice farming. So those elements are really important to that, and I think the new numbers that we're attracting into it suggest we're attracting some of New Zealand's best farmers and innovative farmers who want to subscribe to that platform. And if we can monetise that for them and incentivise it, I think SIMO's always taken an approach to incentivise, not to punish. And that's, again, why we do milk differently with our farmer base.
Any other questions? Okay, if there's not, I just don't want to rush anybody, but if there's not, we have five resolutions to put to you this afternoon. We do have a number of proxy votes, so with respect to those, I'm not going to take a hand vote or a voice vote. Hopefully everybody's got, when they entered the room, they got their voting form. And so the procedure I'd like to go through is that we'll talk about each resolution first, and then we'll ask for questions on that resolution, and then we'll ask you to take the time to vote on the form on that resolution, and then we'll go to the next one and so on until we get through to five. And then we'll collect up the voting forms at the end, not after you've voted once. And the results of all the votes will be on our website later on today. So we won't be in a position to announce it at the end of the meeting. And that gets an absolutely accurate vote, which is important. So five resolutions. The second one does involve myself, so I'll stand down from chairing the meeting while we go through that one. And otherwise we'll go through. And so the first one is about the auditors. All this does is it allows the board to set the auditors' fees for the year. It's quite a standard resolution, but we do need your approval to do that. So are there any questions on that resolution? There aren't. So if there's not, can everybody please vote for, against or abstain on their form at the appropriate place? Right, so having done that, since the next resolution involves myself, I'll ask Bill to chair this part of the meeting.
Thank you, Graham, and good afternoon. Under our constitution, one third of the independent directors, and we have three, must retire from office at the annual meeting each year, but are able to be re-elected. Graham fits the category this year, it's his turn, and accordingly, Graham must retire and, being eligible, offers himself for re-election. And before I ask you to vote on the resolution, I just ask Graham to just address the meeting, and if there are any questions after his address, he'll take those questions too.
Thanks, Bill. It's me back again. Right, so it's been a real privilege to chair Synlait since its inception, and since that initial capital raising that we did privately in 2006-07. So it has been a few years. But I hope you agree that it's been a real success. And obviously, you've heard Leon's vision, and that's exactly where the board is lined up, and there's much more excitement to come. So in terms of my own experience, I've been lucky enough to have a reasonably fulsome executive experience in the 1980s, 70s actually as well. It's been a while. So I was lucky enough to be the CEO for a period of the largest dairy company in New Zealand before Fonterra, and another dairy company before that, the second largest dairy company in Australia, the largest meat company in New Zealand. I was CEO for a while. So I had a reasonably in-depth executive experience that I bring to the table. And for the last 20 years, I've been a director and chairman of various companies in various sectors. This has been the only dairy company, obviously, so involved in many other sectors, and still am and chair of another five companies, which does keep me reasonably busy, but not too busy to fully participate in Synlait. There is one issue I'd mention, and that is that there is a convention, it's not a rule, but there's a convention that 10 to 12 years is about the time that you can usefully serve on a board, and then you should make way for others. And I do generally comply with that convention. Last year I stood down from Genesis Energy and FMG, the insurance company, because I had been about 12 years on each of those companies. However, Synlay is a bit of a nice company, and it's a bit hard to leave. And so we're changing CEO. We've changed CEO, and of course you don't want to change everything at once. You want some continuity. So as we went through the change of CEO, I did undertake to the board that, subject to your approval and support, that I would continue to be with the company for at least 2 years. But after that, I do seriously have to consider succession. So with that in mind, the board is going to, all directors, in the new year, we're going to get a professional external review come in and help us through developing a full succession plan. We realise that we haven't changed that many directors since we listed, but we've got a good formula and we're making it work. But there's a truth to the matter, and that is nobody lasts forever. So I do seek your support for a somewhat limited time into the future. Thank you. Yes, questions?
Robin, is this working?
It is.
Okay. Robin Harrison from the New Zealand Shareholders Association. I'll start by saying that we will be using our discretionary votes to support your re-election. And I note that we did actually send to our members an analysis of Synlay and picked up the fact that the board composition was probably in need of some review. And so I note that you've picked up on that sort of point. I'm not sure if that communication went through to the board from our NZSA head office, but it was almost as if you were replying to what had been picked up by that that assessment. So we note that you are not the only board member who's been in position for quite a few terms, and so it did seem that the composition of the board was due for a reassessment. So we will be voting for you. And in fact, while I've got the microphone, we will be voting in favour of the other resolutions as well.
Thank you very much. It's much appreciated. Any other questions of myself? Oh, you should put the resolution, I imagine. You should put the resolution.
Yes. Okay, no more questions for Graham. I would now ask you to consider the resolution and fill out your all voting form. Thank you. Now I'll hand back to Graham.
Thank you, Bill. Got to be seen to do the right thing as well as do the right thing. Right, if everybody's completed that, then we'll go to Resolution 3, which is about directors' remuneration, which, of course, I do also have a bit of an interest in. Right, so the way we approach directors' remuneration is that as a board, we stand back from it. We commission an external party skilled in recommending remuneration, which is Ernst & Young in this case. We ask them to go out to the market, find out what's happening in the market, typically sized companies, get a comparator group together, and work out what the median is, not above the average, not below the average, the median, and recommend that to us. And we, unless there's something wrong with their methodology or whatever, we hand that on to shareholders. So this is unchanged from the recommendation that they have put. And frankly, we do the same with all our staff, except obviously we, against performance, we pay above or below the median, but we market compare with all the staff that work for Synlay as well. Any questions? Okay, if there's not any questions, then I'd like you to fill in your voting papers on that resolution as well. Okay, this resolution, it's relatively minor in nature, but important. What it does is it allows, it's some minor wording changes to the Constitution, and it allows us to retain John Penno, one of the founders, as a director. He was a director before, but we didn't envisage this change. So the Constitution actually says that John must be an employee of the company and must be called managing director. Now that's somewhat misleading. We don't want them to be we don't need them to be an employee of the company. We don't want the constitution to force us to have him as an employee of the company when he's a director only. That means holiday pay and things like that he has to earn. So it was a quirk in the constitution that we didn't envisage this. You could argue that we should have done. And the other thing is that he's appointed in the constitution by the board, although he will stand for election in a minute, and I'll explain that. And so we don't want him to be called the managing director because that infers that Leon reports to him and Leon doesn't report to him. Leon reports to the board. So we'd like to fix this wording to the constitution. So I'd ask if there's any questions on that. No, must be adequately explained. So if there's not, then could everybody fill in their voting paper on that resolution number 4, please? Right, so the fifth and last resolution is to actually elect John as either the managing director or the board-appointed director, depending on how you voted on the last resolution, but this resolution is all-encompassing. And so with that in mind, I'd ask John to come forward and say a few words in support of his re-election. Thank you.
Thanks, Graham, and afternoon, everybody. I'd like to say at this meeting last year we announced that I'd be standing down from the role of CEO and that I'd, the intention was that I'd continue to support the company as a director. Personally, I'd like to say how pleased I am that we were able to attract someone of Leon's calibre to take on the role. You're seeing Leon make his first presentation, and from my point of view, I've been nothing but impressed by the way that Leon has got his head around the business, got his head around the issues, built relationships with our key customers, built relationship with our stakeholders and staff in what has been a very short period of time. And it really was a pleasure yesterday to spend the time with the board looking at strategy and looking at the future, and to see Leon clearly in the lead and excited about where the company could go. I see this as a new era for the company. I remain very committed to seeing the journey through after being involved for 10 years and getting it started up. We're no longer a startup; it's a company with some scale, with good earnings, good profitability, a very strong balance sheet, and an extremely exciting future with many opportunities in front of it. And I'm 100% supportive of Leon being the right person to lead that forward. I do genuinely believe that the best position role that I can play is continuing to support the growth of the company from a director position, bringing the experience that I've gained, built up as we've built the company to this point, but being very keenly aware of the risks that are there for our business, the mistakes that we've made along the way that I don't want to see us make again, the things that we've learnt, being able to put them to work, and being able to support, along with my other directors, if you should elect me, supporting the other directors, supporting Leon and the management team as they take the opportunities that are in front of the company. I'm here just as excited today for the future of the company as I was, and if you see fit to elect me, I can guarantee that I'll be there working very hard for our collective interests, but for what we can achieve in the coming decade. So thank you. Happy to answer any questions that might be there.
Yes, it's hardly a question, but I think it's appropriate. Regardless of which way everybody in this room chooses to vote, I wonder if we could possibly have a round of applause for all the work that you've put in your previous role, and then next year we'll talk about what you've been doing for the new role. Thank you.
Look, thank you for that, but it has been a real privilege, and I've enjoyed every moment of it, but thank you.
Wasn't too tough a question there, John. Right, if everybody could fill in their voting forms on the last resolution, number 5, please. And could the collection team collect up the voting forms, please? So just while that's happening, we'll just wait to make sure we get all of the forms collected. But I'm very happy to take any questions of general business or any comments that anybody might have. Or... yes, please. We've got a microphone coming, just so everybody can hear.
Thank you. Is it on? It's Pam Walpole speaking. I'm a shareholder. Could I request that next year, for your ballot papers, you actually make the font a bit larger? It is so tiny, it's quite difficult to read.
Fair comment.
Thank you.
There's quite some agreement in the audience. Yes, I apologise. It was obviously too small.
Robin Harrison again. Robin. On a similar vein, I found the online version of your annual report difficult to read in two respects. One was the print size, and also the colour contrasts in some places made it very difficult. So
we're on a theme here, aren't we?
We could do that for next year.
I thought the same, and I've had the same feedback. So, yeah, we take that on board, make it larger. And actually, there's a danger with the pink that, you know, pink on grey, for example, doesn't show out too well. We've already found that out. So we're going to be exceptionally careful to make sure things are bigger and bolder and brighter and easier to read. So we get the point. Thank you. There seems to be agreement on that issue. Anything? Any other guidance for us? Great. We're going to make that more worldwide. We're going to spread that. Yes.
I just had a question. Doesn't it like how to wear a pink?
Only in the winter. Why did I ask for more questions? Yes.
Just a vehicle relations question. Have you thought to webcast your AGM?
Yes, that was. I do have two other companies where we do that, I was going to mention it after the meeting. So yeah, we've both. Yeah, it saves a lot of travel and that, and we do get a lot more attendance at other meetings that we webcast. And you can type in the question, your questions as you go. So as you think of them, you can just type them in if you're on the webcast. And of course, and then we can group them as the questions come in, you know, because you get quite a few on the same topic. And then it is actually quite efficient, quite more efficient. You do get a less of an audience because people choose to stay home. But that's the way the world's going, and I think we've got to do it. We've got a broader and broader Australian shareholders as well, and so we need to cater to everybody. Yeah, and that's a good idea. We've definitely noted that, haven't we? We do. I think under NZX rules at the moment, ASX, we do have to hold a physical meeting as well, but that's easily accommodated. Good suggestion so far. We're noting all these. Anything else? Okay, we've got a cup of tea and we're all going to be available and we'll have a good time to answer questions directly. I was going to try and summarise the vision, but actually our new CEO, Leon, did it so well against that question that I completely agree, and so does the team, with exactly what he said. That's what we're building. So thank you for joining us for the ride, and keep on supporting us because it's going to be fun. Thank you very much for attending.